And so I'm going to ask Ed Mano to come up, because I have had the privilege of getting to know Ed really, really well, and I have seen God do some amazing, amazing work this year in Ed. And God has joined us as really close friends. He's joined us as brothers in Christ. Get the microphone. He has joined us as partners in ministry. And if you don't know Ed, Heather is his wife, and they're one of the families that have many children in our body. They've got six kids between them, and they came to Eastwood in March of 2017. So we are getting close to the 2-year mark of their time here. And Ed, you told me that you grew up in church. In the early part of your life, you primarily went to a Catholic church, which you've kind of described as creating some interesting views of God, of church, of Christ, of a variety of things. In fact, you told me that when you were 3 years old, you went with your family to a mass, and being a 3-year-old, you were a little unruly during this time and a little too talkative. And so the priest who was delivering the message steps down out of the pulpit, off the stage, and comes to where you all are sitting, you and your family, and admonishes you and them right there in front of everybody. In fact, he insisted that you put ashes on your tongue as punishment. Your dad wasn't having any of that. He snatches you up, and you guys leave immediately, never to return to that church. You find another Catholic church that you're at until you're about 8 or 9 years old. From there, you drift into a few different churches through your young adult life. And then at the age of 34 in 2012, you had what you told me was your salvation experience, an encounter with God where you came to truly know Christ. Prior to that, because of your history and background and kind of upbringing, what would you say was your view of God?
Well, I'd say I always believed in God. I always believed there was a higher power up there pulling the strings. But it's kind of funny. I think I kind of thought of God as maybe like Santa Claus. As long as I believed he was up there, that was enough. And if I believed, he would give me presents. But because I wasn't truly following God, and I hadn't given my heart and surrender to God truly, those presents would often be the wrong size or the wrong color or the wrong shape, and it would frustrate me. Even though I knew he was there, I just wasn't following him like I should.
My guess is kind of similar to that 3-year-old experience, that you also saw Santa Claus or God as checking off a list,
right,
and checking it twice, seeing if you've been naughty or nice. So after you got saved in 2012, did your view of God change initially?
Initially, yes. I was on fire, and I tried to get plugged into a church, but after a month or so, that fizzled out. I really didn't have any real relationship with God.
So when you and your family came here in 2017, what would you say your view of church, really just your whole Christian experience, was? Your view of God, your view of Christ, your view of small groups, your view of the body of Christ and the family of God, which we talk a lot about. What would you say how did you view those things?
Well, you talk a lot about checking off boxes and Christianity, sometimes the things that we do as Christians as assignments. You know, Heather, it was important for her to come to church, so I'd bring her to church. Check. I got that done. The kids, bring the kids to youth. Get them some Jesus. Check. Done. Right? You would invite me to small groups, and I just thought, and I would sit around with a bunch of dudes holding hands, singing Kumbaya, praying for each other. That's what I thought. I don't want to do that. I'm going to drive my tractor around, shoot some guns. That's really what I believed. It was just an assignment. It was just something to check off.
Well, what's kind of interesting about that is I was looking at it kind of from the other side, not really knowing what was going on inside Ed's mind and heart at that time. And I remember when they first came, they started coming on Wednesday night, which, you know, we love, we think is great. And we have Bible studies after dinner. Well, he and his family and would come, and they'd eat dinner, and they'd send their kids off to youth because, you know, they they need Jesus. And then I'd watch, and Ed and Heather would just sit there at the table and kind of talk, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's a husband and wife spending some time together. But I did what I felt like I should do, and I think maybe the very first week I walked up to Ed and I said, hey, we've got a Bible study that meets. I lead a men's group, and right now, would you like to come? And he said, no, next week. Maybe next week I'm going to sit here and talk to my wife. And so I said, all right, and I went on. And then very next week I invited him again, and I got the exact same response. Maybe next week. And I asked him week after week after week for a year. And it became a joke. I mean, it really became a running joke because I knew the answer before I even asked him. Oh, yeah, maybe next week. And I said, well, I'm going to hold you to that. But then earlier this year, back during the summer, God got your attention. God got a hold of you. Tell us what happened there, what you experienced.
Well, as some of you guys know, a few years ago, I became estranged from my parents. And it bothered me, of course. It was hard, but I kind of thought, well, eventually I'll forgive them and I'll get over it. And they'll get over it and they'll forgive me and we'll reconcile. And 3 months turned into 6 months, turned into 9 months, turned into a year. And no matter what I tried to do, no matter how many prayers I prayed, nothing was changing. And it got harder and harder. And then had some logistical changes with the kids, which put a huge financial burden on our family. It was really tough. We really struggled at first with it and took time away from me, added stress. And it was just all a lot all at once. And Heather was being supportive like she is and saying, why don't you talk to Sean? Why don't you look into this men's group and talk to Sean? And I said, yeah, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk to this guy. I mean, what are we going to do, be besties? I mean, we're just going to hang out and go to men's group and sing Kumbaya and hold hands, right? And that's, I don't want to do that. And so, yeah, okay, I'll think about it. And then I really don't know what it was. I know I was at work, and it just kind of dawned on me that I think I need to talk to Sean. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God pushed me into making that phone call, and he made sure that you were the one that answered the call, because everything after that just kind of fell into place and brings us to this point where we're at now.
So on that phone call, what do you think it was that God did or revealed to you that kind of changed your view, changed your perspective of things?
It was truly how I was reacting to the situations and how I looked at it. You know, the first Wednesday night we came to, we read scripture, and it was considerate joy. It's all in how you consider the things that are happening to you. And that's what really changed. You gave me that quote of, God, how do you want me to react in this situation?
Well, that's the really cool thing that I remember from the other side, receiving that phone call, because when he called me, he was just emotionally distraught. I mean, he misses his parents. His dad was his best friend. And they haven't talked now in how long?
2 years almost, I think.
2 years. And so what Ed really wants is that situation to be fixed. And when he called me, what he really wanted was just to feel better. Like, wanted to know, what can I do to fix this situation? And I will just tell you, honestly, when I meet with people to talk about their life, I don't feel like it's my job to fix their situation. I don't feel like it's my job to tell them what to do most of the time. Now, that comes out at times. I feel like my job, and I know Bill feels this same way, is not to do those things, not to make Ed feel better, but get him to see the situation from the perspective of God. And because I know that he has the Holy Spirit in him, I want him to hear the voice of God for himself. And so as we were going through, he really was asking me, hey, man, how do I fix this? What would you do? And I told him, I don't know. I don't know what you should do, but God does. And what I do know is that the way he wants your heart aligned is asking him, God, what are you doing? Because I know that he's working. He's working all the time. That is a truth in Scripture. We talk about it a lot in here. And so how is God working? And what I wanted for Ed was to change his thoughts from, how do I fix this, to, God, what are you doing? How are you trying to grow me? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? And how do you want me to respond? And what's interesting is I had been watching Ed and Heather sit at that Wednesday night table, not going to Bible study, not really connecting to the body, but wanting that for their kids. And I think this is odd, because why would you want something for your kids that you don't want something for that you don't want for yourself? And I had been hoping for an opportunity to somehow allow that to be brought to the surface, and it never arose because I don't know Ed well enough at that time to be direct with him. I didn't just want to call him out, and he told me later that if I had, he would have run. He probably would have left our church. So thankfully, God protected that. But on this phone call, I had an opportunity to kind of bring that to the surface. And I said to him at the end of that phone call, Ed, this is why I invite you every week to Bible study. It's not to check off boxes. It's because in that men's group, and hopefully most of our groups, what we do is we look at life, the situations and circumstances of life, what is happening, and what does God want you to see in that? We open up his word and we ask him, give us your wisdom, give us your guidance, give us your truth. And then how does that apply to real life? I said, that's why I invite you. I know it's become a joke, but I know you need that because I know every one of us needs that. And Ed's response to that, to me, was just beautiful. He didn't get defensive. He didn't hem-haw around. He wasn't negative at all. You know what he said? He said, what time does it start? And I said, 6:45. And he said, do I need my Bible? And I said, well, that'd be good. And he was there the very next Wednesday. In fact, he was early. And he was ready to go. And he had his Green Bay Packers Bible cover, which we'll talk about that later. But what did you see God do from that point? What have you seen God do from that point forward?
So what God has done is he really drew me into this church, and he knew from the very beginning this was coming. And he surrounded me with you guys, with you guys as my family. When my own parents won't even speak to me, I have you guys to hold me up. And I have such wonderful friends and such wise counselors in this church. I see four or five of you guys that give me just great counsel and tell me how I should be responding. And you hold me to it. You hold me accountable. And you make sure that I am continuing to grow and walk with Christ. And I still have all those same problems, probably even more. But now the way that I can look at it is, what is God trying to show me in this situation? And simply by looking at it that way, there's so much more peace.
Well, the other part of that Ed really doesn't talk about is that no longer does his faith and his relationship with God end with him. He has become a servant in the kingdom. He's been on four or five service projects. He's helped Jonathan Barrett at his house a number of times. He has called and prayed for and encouraged the men in this body, his brothers in Christ. He now sees himself as truly a working member of God's family. And to me, that is a miracle of God's work that I have seen and witnessed this year. And so I thank you, and I'm excited to see what God does in 2019 in you.